Tell me, what am I to do when I'm so much better than you? They ask who this nigga talking to. My reply, they yo kicks if you bought the shoe.
Catch me up in casinos, chillin', sippin' on vinos. Me and my villains, we know just how to run the table, fully betting on them hallways. Sixes and eights all day, nines and fives, shooting them shakers like it's my job. Hands high, got lady luck bustin' up out of damn skirts. 7 come 11, I'm hurting them with that hand. When I'm all about my money, home. The only nigga at the table with the Cubans. Swear to God, I'm Bomani John. And Papa needs a new pair of shoes, but no kickback. I'm trying Carter with the click clack and watch my chip stack. And I never play the field, too real for sucker bets. In case you niggas ain't got the point yet.
Y'all niggas ain't fucking with me.
All right, WWFLIP, When We Feel Like It podcast, where we broadcast when the fuck we feel like it. Sean right back in the building. And that song right there is by Dustin Prestige, and that song is called Perfecto. Something I deal with every day of my life, being perfect, you know. It's hard, but I manage, you know what I'm saying? But now, it's a nice little laid-back track. I fuck with it. It's real smooth. And let me see where I want to start off today. Let me see what's going on out here in the streets. And I guess I'll start with Draymond Green. I call it When Alpha Goes Wrong. Draymond Green did an interview, and he was saying how he lost the trust of KD when they had some sort of argument or whatever. And it's the perfect example of when people get pumped up by the media and, you know, social media and all this other shit. Everybody was calling Draymond Green the ultimate alpha male. He rallies the guys. He brings all the guys together. He, you know, he's the glue to the team and all this goofy shit. But sometimes you're just an asshole. And Draymond Green was very much so an asshole to KD. He pretty much terrorized him the entire season, or multiple seasons, on and off the court, to where, you know, KD was like, fuck him. Because KD doesn't really need much motivation. He's going to get buckets no matter how he feels. It doesn't really fucking matter. The nigga 7 foot tall. He's going to hit shots. He's going to dunk on people. He's going to do his little crossover shit. He don't need much motivation. Like, get the fuck out this man's face and let this man hoop. But instead, you pretty much dismantle the entire team. Not really, but he got KD the fuck out of there. You know, the rest of the teammates, and they got injured and shit. Iguodala and all that shit type gone. So, you know how that shit go. It's just some real weirdo type shit, you know, as I always say. And I don't really have much of a point to it. It's just that, stop being an asshole, people. Like, come on. How you get the best player pissed off to where he wants to leave the team when, you know, he joined the team because he was pissed off? The Warriors was like on some real happy-go-lucky type shit. They look like some Brady Bunch type shit over there. It was crazy. So for you to hear the real shit behind the scenes, how these motherfuckers fighting every other day type shit, it's different out there in the streets, man. And I would say, Draymond, you won dickhead of the day. You're welcome. Courtesy of When We Feel Like It. Pause, by the way, just in case. Because, you know, Tanky is out here on the loose. So you got to watch what you say, because Tank might, you know what I mean, do some Tank type shit. And I guess I get into that real quick, pause, but this motherfucker Tank, man, I want to ignore this shit, but that shit is weird too, man. God damn it. This man said some weirdo shit and want to call everybody else homophobic. No, we're not homophobic. We just think that's gay, because it is gay. And for those who living under a rock, you know, Tank came out and said some wild shit talking about if a man sucks dick once or twice, he's not gay. It's like, excuse the fuck out of me, champ, but that's pretty much the epitome of gay. I mean, if you look at the gay food pyramid, dick is pretty much at the top of the food chain. It's pretty much the number one basic food group in the gay community. I mean, you can't really get any gayer than that. I don't. Where else are you gonna go? That's pretty much the mountaintop of gayness. What the fuck else are you gonna do? Where can you go after that? I don't even want to know. Actually, don't even tell me, please, because I don't want to fucking find out. I don't want to know. I don't want no parts. But yeah, if you look at the food pyramid, dick is pretty much up there. I mean, out of all the things you can eat, dick is pretty much the gayest thing you can eat. I mean, yo, man, pause at this entire segment, by the way. You know what I'm saying? I can't say pause enough. It's just, that's some real egregious type shit that this nigga Tank has endeavored on. You know what I mean? I didn't even want to bring this shit up, but at the same time, it's quite ridiculous. But you know, everybody else is homophobic because we don't agree with Tank. So I guess I'm homophobic now. God damn it. I don't know what else to do. I mean, if you follow Tank's career in his interviews and shit, you will see he has a long history, pause, of saying some wild shit. So this is no surprise that he went this way. He been performing at fucking gay parades or gay parties. I forgot, a gay event or some shit. And he said he likes his ass eaten, pause, once again. You know, it's just a lot of It's a lot of wild shit going on with Tank, man. I don't even want to talk about this shit anymore. I think we're going. It ain't even no we. I think I'm going to move on. It ain't no thinking to it either. I'm getting the fuck out of here. Let's see what else we got here, man. God damn it. This nigga Tank, man. Yeah, Tank, you ain't invited to the cookout, my nigga. It'd be funny to see Tank at the cookout. He going straight to the sausages and shit. It's like, Tank, they ain't even out the packages yet, my nigga. He's like, nah, I'm good. I'm good. I'm just take these with me. It's like, my nigga, we ain't even cooked them. Nah, I'm straight, man. I'm just taking them like this, man. It's like, all right, man. But yeah, again, that's enough of Tank. Pause. I'm sorry about that. I guess I'll talk about this Kanye shit, though. Jesus is king. Man, fuck Kanye, man. I'm so sick of this nigga here, boy. God damn. For those who don't understand what's going on, Kanye just dropped an album called Jesus is King. And no, I did not listen to this shit because I already know what's going on. For people who don't understand what's going on with Kanye, all he's doing is doing what all politicians have done for the fucking turn of the century type shit, since the beginning of time type shit. It's anytime they want black people back in their good graces, or they want to gain favor of black people again, all they do is go to church. They fucking Harlem Shake with a couple children. They do the Millie Rock, and then they do the Black Boy JB dance, and you know, now all of a sudden black people love him and shit again. And that's basically what Kanye West is doing. And I'm not falling for it. I'm not listening to this goddamn album. No, fuck that. You lost all the fucking favor of black people. Now all of a sudden Jesus is king and people tolerating this shit. But you know, people don't want to let go of Kanye. He's made a couple good albums, and now all of a sudden they don't want to let him go. I get it, but I don't get it. Because out of his last four albums, I haven't listened to none of that shit except one. I listened to that Ye album. I haven't listened to Pablo. I haven't listened to Yeezus. I haven't listened to Jesus is King. And I never will listen to either one of those. It's not happening. He caught me with Ye only because I felt like I should review it for the podcast. But I'm not even doing that shit again. And plus, it was easy because that album wasn't even an album. It was only 24 minutes long. So it's like I listened to half an album. But anyway, fuck Kanye. I know what you're doing. Real niggas see you. Real niggas haven't forgot either. And you know, I'm not fucking with you. Fuck out of here. I'm not fucking with you. I'm not buying your clothing. I'm not listening to your album. I'm not buying your shoes. Fuck everything about you. But you do think you're slick, but you're not slick. I see you. I see what's going on. He tried to pull some real quick Obama type shit. That's funny. The whole Sunday service type shit was really just like a rollout for his album. And I hate saying rollout because Joe Budden's podcast ran that shit into the ground. But, you know, it is what it is. And also, over the weekend, I've been watching the Dolemite movie. I've been watching fucking, what was it? Damn, man. Oh, yeah, Arsenio Hall stand-up. Arsenio Hall stand-up was great, man. It was a real good special he just put out. If anybody wants a quick little laugh, I would, you know, suggest people watch that Arsenio Hall special. It's pretty funny. I was pretty surprised, but at the same time, not surprised. Because I haven't really heard about him touring or anything. So he might have just did that one and done. I don't know. I would like to know his process in terms of how he came up with that special and everything. If he did any warm-ups or anything. I would have to assume that he did. But at the same time, he took a lot of obvious concepts and put a little twist on it. It was pretty good, man. He had some surprise jokes in there that, you know, might catch you off guard. Because again, he was saying obvious stuff, stuff that was already kind of popular, but he put his own spin on it at the end. It was pretty good. The writing was pretty good in it. It might be one of the more funny specials that has been out in the last couple years. I always go back to Michael Che, though. Michael Che has the funniest special to me. Michael Che Matters. I always say that. I always tell people to watch that, but motherfuckers never watch it, so. But it's all good, you know what I'm saying? You don't got to watch greatness. You can keep watching this lame shit. But don't come to me talking about you ain't got nothing to watch and you ain't seen nothing funny. But niggas telling you what's funny and you ain't fucking with it. But, you know, that's a whole nother story. But anyway, Arsenio Hall had a real good special. I feel like it's kind of like a warm-up for Eddie Murphy because they have similar senses of humor. And I feel like his was kind of warm-up for Eddie Murphy. For instance, if you notice Dave Chappelle's special, he was pretty much opening for Bill Burr. They let Dave Chappelle take all the heat for all the shit he was saying in his special. And then they let Bill Burr kind of fly under the radar with his special right after Dave Chappelle's with pretty much the same type of material and shit. And he didn't get any backlash. You got to pay attention to that type of shit, though. So unfortunately, they let fucking Dave Chappelle open for Bill Burr because they came out like a week apart. And that's no coincidence. It really should have been the opposite way. But, you know, it is what it is. But once again, real niggas see you. I see what's going on. And I will say, actually, Bill Burr's special was probably funnier than Dave Chappelle's. But Dave Chappelle's was more entertaining. I feel like Dave Chappelle's was better than Bill Burr's. Because again, Dave Chappelle wasn't aiming to be over the top funny. He was more so sending messages out to the streets and shit like that. And also letting people know he ain't scared of the fuck shit. he gonna say and do what the fuck he wanna do. And then, you know, Bill Burr kind of piggybacked off of that momentum. But, you know, once again, it is what it is. But I do see you out there. Don't never forget that. But back to Arsenio, though. I feel like it was a warm-up for Eddie Murphy, like I say, because they have similar senses of humor. And as long as Eddie Murphy cusses in his special, I feel like it's going to be pretty good and pretty funny. I also love his role in Dolomite. Dolomite was a real great movie. Borderline classic. I'm not mad if you say it's not a classic. It's great to classic. It all depends. I'm kind of leaning towards classic because Eddie Murphy played it. He played it straight. No pun intended. And I'll get into that in a second. But he didn't put too much over characterization on it. He didn't put like crazy voices over it, because then it would have kind of looked like Nutty Professor and other type of shit. So I feel like he strategically didn't try to overemphasize the voice and all that type of shit and do all type of weird voice inflections. I feel like he purposely stayed away from that shit and just played it straight. And kind of gave the character more seriousness, more of a sense of purpose, instead of some just over-the-top character type shit. I feel like it was a real good movie, had real good messages, a lot of shit you could learn from. And also, the 70s is a very pivotal point in the black community. I love period pieces that's in the 70s and shit like that, because black people and black families were really on some real powerful type shit. If you look at all the fucking scenes in the movie and shit, black people all look happy. They, you know, they out and about, they moving in a very powerful manner. They have great family structures, all that type of shit. That shit started to crumble after the 70s. But the 70s was some real live shit. Like, you can really get fucked off for fucking with black people in the wrong way. Black people was really riding in the 70s. There was some real serious type shit going on then. And to see all that shit get flushed away from the crack era and all that shit, and of course the prison type shit and, you know, all the other shit, the gang violence and all that shit kind of dwindled after that shit. But it's beautiful to see black people in that time period, in that space, which is why I also feel like Eddie Murphy did that. But there's one thing I do have to mention. There's one thing that did leave out of the movie, which I'm kind of happy they did. They kind of hinted towards it, but they pretty much left it out for the most part. But Rudy Ray Moore was gay. They kind of left that out in the movie, but they kind of hinted at it because his homeboy was gay in the movie, but they didn't really touch on it. Pause. But yeah, Dolomite was gay. I don't know why I called him Dolomite, but you know, Rudy Ray Moore, who clearly played Dolomite, was gay. And if you notice in the movie, he doesn't really have any meaningful relationships with women in the movie and shit like that. Only the one woman, they kind of juxtaposed her with Eddie Murphy to make it look like they were kind of hinting at getting together type shit. But nah, they weren't getting together. Only thing she could do for him is point him to the nearest dude. That's about it. Because Rudy Ray Moore wasn't going for it. He was looking for the dudes, for sure. And that's not to take anything away from him. But you know, I'm glad they didn't focus on that. They stayed away from it, because the movie had other meaningful messages outside of overstating the gay stuff. I'm glad they kind of stayed away from that. But also, it's fucked up how he gave all the rights away to all the music and all that shit, and pretty much signed his life away to the movies and all that shit. Because if I remember correctly, I think he did die broke. I don't think he had any money towards the end of his life type shit. Because Eddie Murphy was trying to do a movie about him, he said 15 years ago, and Rudy Ray Moore didn't even believe it. This is before he passed away. He didn't see it happening, which is ironic because, you know, the way he fought to get his movies out in the streets, you would think he would be more optimistic. But sometimes people don't see that vision, even when it's about them, which is crazy. I guess I can't say it's crazy. It's actually pretty common. You have to really push people to get shit out there. You have to harass them every day about them, which is another thing I've been thinking about lately. I'm always hearing about how mental health is this big push and this type of shit. But anytime it's a man involved, our society just throw men away. Anytime a man needs help, they're like, shit, you a grown ass man, dog. I ain't got shit for you. I can't give you no money, dog. You a grown ass man. I can't do this. You a grown ass man, dog. Nah, fuck that, dog. Hell no. You a grown ass man. It's like, my nigga, I'm asking for help. Nah, fuck that. You a grown ass man. I don't understand that shit. I mean, yes, of course, if you're not doing anything to try to get money or try to help yourself, then yeah, fuck you. I'm not helping you. But if you are actively trying to do things and you're actively putting things together and it's just not all the way clicking, I'm more than happy to help. I really don't understand how we just throwing all the men away. Pause. It's like, sometimes men need help. Men should be able to bring other men up. It shouldn't be on some, nah, you a grown ass man type shit. That's only for people who aren't applying themselves. If you're applying yourself, if you need help, I feel like you should be able to get that. But our society is just throwing all men away. It's kind of weird. But mental health, though, it's important. Unless you a man, then it's fuck you. Shit crazy. And another thing I want to mention about the whole Eddie Murphy shit, I like to juxtapose Eddie Murphy to Tyler Perry. You look at all the Eddie Murphy movies, this is why I call Eddie Murphy a fucking goat. the greatest of all time, comedy-wise, because for one thing, he understands the science of the game. If you look at all of Eddie Murphy's movies, black people are all in positions of power in pretty much all his movies. You look at Trading Places, you know, Eddie Murphy went from homeless to being a CEO type shit to getting over on people and putting the people who did him wrong in jail or putting them in an impoverished position or whatever. You look at fucking Boomerang. Everybody on the fucking show got jobs and they all CEOs and they all managers and bosses and all that type of shit. They all in fucking corporate type positions. You look at fucking Coming to America. Everybody own restaurants and the Princess Zamunda and all this type of shit. All type of real cold-blooded fly shit going on. You look at fucking Dolemite, a man coming from the ground up, building his comedy career, turning that into fucking music, fucking comedy albums, and then turning that shit into movies and some Hollywood type shit, all with his own money and ingenuity and his own team, all that type of shit. You look at that, all these people are in positions of power, beautiful black people, all black cast type shit pretty much. It's great shit. Then you look at Tyler Perry. I mean, yes, he has a movie studio and all this type of shit, but you know, he still be showing black people with AIDS and all this type of shit. Motherfucking all the dark skinned dudes is evil villains and all this type of weirdo shit. I mean, yeah, you got your own studio, but you still putting black people in filthy looking roles and the shit still be low budget looking. How you own a fucking big ass studio and the shit still look low budget as fuck? I don't get it. So I be feeling some type of way about Tyler Perry. On one end, I want to celebrate him. On the other end, I be like, fuck him. So a lot of times I really don't be knowing how to feel about him. My overall energy and spirit tells me fuck Tyler Perry. Pause. Because he just be on some real wild shit. I don't know. The images he portrays a lot, I can't really fuck with it. I don't like it. And he be on this Kanye shit too. He panders to the church crowd a lot. That's why I don't fuck with none of his movies. All his movies is like some real churchy type shit. I can't really fuck with it. It don't resonate to me. So that's why I'm always big on how Eddie Murphy moves in the streets and shit, with the characters and shit he portrays. Because once again, just like the Dolemite movie, they made sure to hit home the facts that, you know, the entrepreneurship and all that shit, the ingenuity, the tenacity, the dedication to get his shit out there in the streets. And he minimized the gay stuff. He pretty much left it out of the movie. All that shit is brain power. All that shit is on purpose. You got to see this shit. You got to recognize the game. You got to see the science behind it. You got to see all the formulas and how this shit really came together and what it really means. Otherwise, you just left out there looking stupid, not understanding what's really going on. And not appreciating it for what it really is and what it really means to the people. And also, he's the GOAT to me because when Eddie Murphy made Delirious, people don't understand the shit, but he was 22 years old when he made Delirious. That shit is out of this world crazy. You know what I'm saying? He on the fucking stage saying grown man shit, performing in front of the world. And you know, him and Richard Pryor had a little beef. Really, they didn't have beef. It was really Richard Pryor hating on him. He was, you know, he was real shook at Eddie Murphy. He was terrified because, you know, he was up and coming and he was really on fire. He was everything Richard Pryor was. No pun intended on being on fire because, you know, Richard Pryor set himself on fire. But anyway, he was everything Richard Pryor was times 100. And Richard Pryor hated that shit. He was terrified of the talent. But you look at Eddie Murphy, he puts all the people who are talented on. You look at all his movies, all these are heavy hitters in all his movies. He never shied away from competition. He never shied away from putting light on other people. You look at fucking Harlem Nights. Everybody is in Harlem Nights. You look at Dolemite, everybody is in Dolemite. You look at Coming to America, everybody is in Coming to America. A lot of his movies are like that. He never shied away from giving people love and allowing people to platform. You look at Boomerang, everybody is in Boomerang. And once again, a lot of people didn't understand the meaning of Boomerang. What goes around comes around. But I ain't gonna get into all that. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just appreciate all the stuff he did to the game. And when he goes on comedy tours and shit, I have to catch that shit. I don't care. I got to spend that ticket. I don't give a fuck how much it costs. I got to see that man live. I need that. Pause. Got to. And getting away from that, I want to talk about this whole LeVar Ball shit. Now, with that said, nothing recently happened in terms of LeVar Ball. But the NCAA did just announce that players will be able to get paid and all this other shit. But really, people aren't tying this shit together. But it's really all because of LeVar Ball. He pretty much made it possible for NCAA players to get paid, in my opinion, because I forgot what it's called, the JBA or some shit. He started that league to where players can get paid, and it was, you know, taking players from the NCAA. So they had to make a move to get that money back, because not even just the JBA league or whatever it's called, or the JBL, it's something like that. I don't feel like looking it up. My apologies. But beyond that, other avenues for players and shit too, people are realizing that you can get away from that shit and start, you know, starting your own brand and all this type of shit and really make some shit jump. So I have to salute LeVar for that. And, you know, a lot of his things kind of crashed and burned. A lot of his ideas and shit and his execution was a little terrible. But I cut him some slack for that. Yeah, slack. That's another thing. A lot of people misuse that word, slack and flack. When you're under fire and you say some or do some fucked up shit, you're catching flack from the people, not slack. Slack means people are cutting you slack, meaning people are giving you a pass, letting you slide. That's what slack means. Flack means we on your ass. Pause. That's what flack means. Motherfuckers misuse this shit every fucking day. That shit pisses me off. I hear people on podcasts saying this shit every fucking day, and they say this shit wrong every fucking time. I be like, God damn it. But anyway, back to LeVar Ball. A lot of shit he did was kind of groundbreaking. So I don't really fault him for hitting his head on a lot of shit, for getting shit wrong, the way a lot of shit was handled. But at the same time, people who cared about you and loved what you were doing were trying to tell you certain things and you weren't listening. So at the same time, I do kind of fault you for how you were moving, because people who just wanted to see you succeed and win were telling you certain things and you were not fucking listening. And you just did the shit anyway on some real dickhead shit. And you was kind of on some fucking Puff Daddy shit. You was kind of dancing on the camera and shit, not letting your son shine. Like, you have to let your son be men. You can't keep overshadowing these motherfuckers, man. Let them boys do what they do. Lonzo Ball injured himself wearing them bum-ass sneaks. And I told people wearing fake shoes and shit, it's not healthy. You could fuck up your spine and your feet and all type of shit because these shoes are not quality control checked. These shoes may not be aligned perfectly and all this type of shit. They say he was blowing out his shoes every quarter type shit. That's what pretty much fucked up his ankle when he was on the Lakers and shit, because he was wearing some bum-ass sneaks. People don't understand, these companies spend millions of dollars in marketing and researching and shit. Other players, other people who are not in the NBA are supposed to be testing these shoes before you even put them on. That's where a lot of this money goes into. Also, you selling these bum-ass sneaks for $500, acting like you made the molds for them, when the shoe was already made. All you did was purchase the rights to slap your name on the shoe. The shoe wasn't even made specifically for Big Baller Brand. The shoe was already made. They just bought it and slapped their name on it. Only select few people, well, a lot of people probably know this now, but back then, I already knew this because I already seen that design before. It was already up for sale type shit. Anybody could have bought it, but they just had the revenue to buy it or the funds to buy it, and they did, and, you know, they slapped the bullshit name on it, and the rest is history pretty much. But, you know, I'm kind of pissed off that he sold that shit to kids for $500. That was a real insult to me because, again, there was no groundwork put into it. All you did was buy it. You didn't put any research or development into it. You didn't put any fucking design cues into the shoe. All that shit was already made and you just ran off with it and sold it for $500. That's some real hoe ass shit. And you just have to imagine how much money that is. If you sell 1,000 shoes at $500 a piece, that's $500,000. Them niggas was making some crazy ass bread off of that shit. So now just take that back and imagine Gucci. Gucci might sell one color of one style for $1,000 a piece. Just imagine how much money these big corporations are making. So at the same time, I don't fault them for thinking that type of way. But at the same time, they were some bum ass sneaks and they were poorly designed. They were poorly quality controlled, if at all. You know, it was just a lot of whack ass shit involved with that shoe. And I know I'm kind of all over the place. I'm making a lot of points at the same time. Hopefully people can catch all this shit. My mind is just kind of racing with all type of shit I'm thinking in my head right now. But just bear with me, please. But anyway, let me see what else. But yeah, LeVar Ball pretty much paved the way for college students to make money, which I love and appreciate about him for that. I don't think people will credit him for that, but I feel like it was all because of him. I put that on his jacket. I just wish he would have toned it down a little bit, man. They could have really succeeded. All three of his children could have been in the NBA. At the same time, the second son, it was pretty much his fault, but he should have allowed him to stay at UCLA. He kind of ruined it because he already wasn't that good in the first place. So you kind of fucked him off by not allowing him to play in college. And then Lonzo, he was kind of the guinea pig. Lonzo athletically is really better than LaMelo, but LaMelo is probably going to have the best chance at a real NBA career because, again, Lonzo was like the guinea pig. He got to learn from all his mistakes. LaMelo got to learn from Lonzo's mistakes. So now he'll probably come into the league. He probably won't be wearing them bum ass Baller Brand shoes. He probably not gonna be listening to his father as much. He gonna, you know, just go out there and ball out or whatever. No tank. And, you know, he gonna probably do his thing. But, you know, it could have ended a lot better if LeVar would have listened to the streets. The streets was showing love to you. The streets loved you. People wanted to see you win. People wanted to see you succeed. People wanted to see you do it as big as possible. And your own ego pretty much got in the way of a lot of that shit. you still got a lot of things accomplished. So it's kind of bittersweet, but it's just not, it's not all the way that it could have been. You could have been talking about some real $1 billion type of shit going on if you really executed this shit the way you could have. It's kind of sad. But, you know, I don't want to dwell on what didn't happen. I'll celebrate what did happen. And you pretty much did help get NCAA players paid. You'll have at least 2 children in the league and maybe more in the future. Grandsons and shit or whatever. And I salute you for that. But, you know, once again, you got to check your ego at the door. People are trying to help you facilitate this shit. And you ignored the streets. You cannot ignore the streets. The streets are the streets. I always tell people this shit. People think the streets are just some fucking low class hood shit. No, the streets are the streets. The streets will always win. The streets will always catch up to you. And the streets caught up to him. He was out there doing some real goofball shit. And it looked real bad. I could tell his children hate every time he talked type shit. They just put their head down. Because he was just on some real weirdo shit with it. But, you know, it is what it is, man. We love LeVar. No love lost, but, you know, you could have just toned it down just a little bit and really got to this cash. But, you know, fuck it, man. Another thing I always hear, though, I always hear about, man, damn, the cops. Man, I can't believe the cops be knowing who I am as a battle rapper or a rapper. It's like, my nigga, cops are regular people. They have regular cars. They have regular fucking hobbies and shit. They know how the internet works. That's where they're catching you doing all these crimes at, on the internet. So, yes, they're very aware of how the computer works. That's where they do all their paperwork when they're arresting you. Yes, they know how the fucking internet works. Yes. I don't know why niggas are surprised by this shit. That's just a random observation that they be like, oh shit, man, the cops, they pulled me over and they knew exactly who I was. Like, yeah, Stinky, why the fuck you think you got pulled over? But yeah, I'm gonna have to listen to the playback of this podcast because, you know, my mind be racing. I've been saying a lot of shit. I hope all this shit came together. I don't know how this shit sounded. I was just going off the top of the noggin, no tank. And yeah, I'm just kind of disappointed in this whole LeVar shit, man. I've just really been thinking about it. But he really kind of spearheaded a lot of shit, you know what I'm saying? He really put a lot of shit together. And he really shook the scene up and got a lot of people really scared behind the scenes. A lot of people don't notice, but, you know, he had a lot of people terrified in terms of elevating the mindset of people of that color skin. And there was definitely a target on his back and a target on his children's back. But as a lot of that shit crumbled, a lot of that shit kind of let up now to where that target is kind of gone now because, you know, they kind of defeated LeVar a little bit. They kind of got him the fuck out the way. He's no longer as powerful as he used to be. I don't know what he is now exactly of stature-wise, but they kind of got him the fuck out of here a little bit with the whole scandal shit and all this other shit jumping off and, you know, the whole back and forth with his children and all that. He's kind of been neutralized, but, you know, as I always say, it is what it is. But I'm not mad at him, though. But I am mad at him. Because that shit really could have been crazy, man. If that shit would have really just jumped off exactly how it could have, it would have meant a lot for all the future players and shit. And not even just players, but, you know, you could pretty much utilize that in every facet of life in any industry, really. You know, that's kind of what I'm doing with the podcast. I mentioned this to Will a few days ago. I didn't really expound on it, so he probably didn't know what the fuck I was talking about. Not that he's slow, but I didn't explain it. But I was trying to tell him about how pretty much Joe Budden cursed us all. He pretty much guaranteed that all these podcasts and shit are gonna have 360 deals pretty soon. And I'm not implying that Joe Budden has a 360 deal with his podcast because he already had leverage. He was already a name. He was already a big name player. So he probably got a cash money deal to where, you know, he keeps all his rights and all that type of shit. But anybody getting popular off of podcasts is probably gonna have a 360 deal moving forward. And it's pretty much all because of Joe Budden, really. He feels like he revolutionized and helped pave the way for people to get money in podcasts. But in reality, you pretty much guarantee that we're all going to have 360 deals moving forward. Well, I'm not going to have a 360 deal, but I mean, most people will. They're going to succumb to that. But me, I'm not going for that sucker shit. But it's going to be harder for us to fight that type of shit now. Because now there's a whole spotlight on podcasts and all that. There's a priority on it. And that means it's a target on everybody's back. And they're going to be trying to suck you into a 360 deal. So everybody out there with a podcast or who wants one, you have to be wary that you're probably going to be signed to a 360 deal if your shit gets really popping. So just be careful out there. And I still don't feel like I explained it well, but I'm trying to see how I should say it. But I think I did. I mean, basically, he had leverage already because, again, he was already a big name player. He already had a huge following. People were already, there was already like a bidding war for him. And he just happened to go with Spotify. Everybody else is pretty much getting popular off of podcasts. So you're not going to have the same luck. You're going to have to take whatever they give you. it'll be interesting to see these other celebrities too, to see how this shit jump off. Cause you know, you got Gilly the Kid, you got fucking, you got a lot of people out there right now with all these podcasts. So, you know what I'm saying? We're gonna have to see how this shit jumps off. But yeah, man, as always, it's been fun chopping it up with you boys and girls. It's been WWFLIP, When We Feel Like It Podcast, where we broadcast when the fuck we feel like it. Sean, gone. Thank you for listening.